Cause everything you say is life to me. I don't wanna miss one word you speak. So quiet my heart, I'm listening.
Worship you today. Worship you today, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the true Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one, Lord, you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So, Lord, we thank you that we can live, we can experience forgiveness and healing and, Lord, freedom through your word, God. Your word is the only truth in this world, Lord. And we thank you for it. Lord, I ask you to bless your people today. Guide us and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. Well, a lot been going on. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I guess my fellow Americans, hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know the Canadian Thanksgiving's a little earlier, so I forgot. So happy Thanksgiving to the Canadians, too. A little late. We're going to get into this morning. For my students in the Fire and Grace School of Ministry, a lot of this is going to be review. But I have not really put this out to everyone. And due to things that have been transpiring over the last few weeks, I felt it needful to address this. But I've entitled this message today, The Historic Jesus Christ in the Bible. And this is a very, very important issue that we need to address, because the Bible deniers, the Jesus deniers, are increasing. Now, this is an old Time magazine cover here from, I think it was 1996, The Search for Jesus, and it says under here, if you can't read it, some scholars are debunking the Gospels. No, they're not. You can't debunk historical fact, and the preponderance of evidence is overwhelming when you really look at it. It's unbelievable, though, but the attacks against the Bible being the inspired, infallible Word of God, the attacks against even Jesus existing as a true historical figure is just increasing. I don't know if it is it ready? Okay. I have a little technical issue here, but we'll get it. But I'll read this anyway while we're doing that, because I don't have a slide for this. But this is just the beginning of something that I'm going to be addressing over the next few weeks. Now, most everyone who knows me and knows this ministry knows that we are truly, you know, all in for the truth of biblical cosmology, the way God describes the earth, and the flat, enclosed cosmology of creation. And everybody knows that we've been, you know, very early on, you know, very involved in all of this. Of course, I spoke at the first Flat Earth International Conference in Raleigh. The Lord specifically told me to do that. I appeared in Robbie Davidson Scientism Exposed 2 and preached the gospel. I preached the gospel at that conference without shame. I talked about my testimony in conversion. I talked about how I came into the flat earth and seeing biblical cosmology, how God opened my eyes to that. And of course, I shared in detail how the Bible is unique, how the Bible is the only book that describes the details of creation far in advance, even though many of us Christians have been blinded to it for years because we were indoctrinated by modern science and their lies and NASA and public education and so forth, but and even bad, you know, theology among Christians. But I shared all that, and I went into great detail at that conference to preach the gospel, not just to preach creation. How many of you know you can preach about creation and not preach the gospel? Because I want to just say this very plainly today. It's not the gospel of Jesus Christ if you don't include that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, who came, died on the cross for the sins of mankind, that he rose from the dead the third day, and that he is the only way that your sins can be forgiven, that you can have eternal life with him in heaven and escape the penalty of sin, which is damnation in hell forever, eternal punishment. If you don't preach that, you're not preaching the gospel, okay? And Christians and mega churches and pastors and now conference people that are putting on flat earth conferences are starting to, they'll talk about, you know, creation, but they don't preach the gospel. I'm just being very blunt this morning, and I'm going to be very blunt. But trust me, I have only begun to fight. I am done playing nice. There's no more flat earth unity with the Antichrist, opposers, blasphemers, and Jesus deniers, and New Agers, and Satanists, and witches that are now the headliners at the Flat Earth International Conference. I'm done. It's over. All right. I put this on Facebook on Tuesday, and I'm just going to say it very clearly. It said, the truth of creation belongs to the true Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him and for him. The Bible states very clearly, Colossians 1:16. Do you hear that? All things were made by him and for him. And let me just state very clearly that the Bible is not proof of flat earth or enclosed cosmology. Flat earth and the evidences that we see and enclosed cosmology prove that the Bible was true all along. There's a big difference. Okay? I'm getting tired of hearing that twist too. The Bible doesn't prove flat earth. Flat earth proves the Bible. Okay? To be God's inspired word. But I wrote here, the truth about creation belongs to the true Creator of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made by him and for him. And the Bible is the only book of God that revealed the details of his creation and the end time conspiracies thousands of years before they became known. The Bible foretold like the very details. For instance, I shared one of these details at our Skyfall 2018 conference. One of the details that we are revealed about the biblical creation is that the ends of the earth are where the treasury of the winds are. Now, that is in the Bible. That's not in any Buddhist writings or Hindu writings or Islamic writings. That's in the Bible. And then what we do find out, one of the scientific truths that we find out about Antarctica that we believe is the ends of the earth is that it's the windiest place on earth. Now, that's a specific detail. That is a scientific fact that we that now is common knowledge. But how could a Hebrew prophet thousands of years ago write about the ends of the earth being the place of the treasury of the winds? And that's why NASA launches their balloon satellites from there, because it's the Antarctic winds that carry it around the circle of the earth. And we could go through that all day long. But that's just one. The Bible also foretold, and I've shared this many times in Psalm 2, that the kings of the world and the rulers and the rich men, that they would conspire against the Lord and against his anointing, meaning his Messiah, his Christ, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would conspire against him in the last days. And that, and I shared that at the conference in North Carolina. Plainly to everyone, that the Bible foretold this conspiracy, and also Romans 1, that part of the conspiracy would be to hide the truth of creation in the last days. The writings of Buddha, the Hindu writings, the Islamic writings, none of them give these kind of details. Not to mention what I shared last week about the New Testament, just about the prophecy in Revelation, about the mark being implanted in the hand or forehead in the end, to control all buying and selling on earth. If that's not enough to convince people right there that the Bible is supernaturally inspired, prophetic revelation from the God of creation, I don't know what I got to do here, right? But I want to tell you, last year at the Flat Earth, the first Flat Earth International Conference in Raleigh, North Carolina, I made that clear, and I made it clear that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that it's not Buddha, it's not Krishna, it's not Muhammad, it's not any other God, it's not New Age meditation and chanting and trying to find God consciousness and all this nonsense that we hear, all this occult, demonic nonsense, transcendental meditation and everything else. It's none of that. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, God in the flesh, and coming into a born-again relationship with him by repentance of your sins, faith in him, believing the Bible is the word of God. That's the only way to be saved. That's the only way to escape hell and damnation. That's the only way to have sins forgiven. And I made that painfully. See, the reason that the weak Christians and the wicked hated my presentation last year is because I preached the gospel. I'm just going to say it. This year in Denver, that did not happen. Not on the main stage. No, the main stage was given to a woman named Karen B. And the Christians were pushed off into a side room that wasn't even streamed or filmed. Oh, yeah, there was a couple of Christians given the main stage, but they were told to tone it down. And if you watch, they didn't give it. Now, the reason I'm saying this is all done publicly, all right? And I'm just being straight with you this morning. I'm done. And I went on to say, the Bible is the only book of God that reveals the details of his creation and the end time conspiracies thousands of years before they became known. Satan knew that these truths would come out in the last days, so he set up a preemptive strike. He inserted New Agers, like Dubé. Dubé didn't discover flat earth. I mean, we had Christians in the 1800s and 1900s, and even going all the way back to the 1500s with Martin Luther, who were saying, no, the earth is flat, the earth is immovable, the earth is an enclosed system. Eric Dubé, ODD, Jaronism, they did not discover this truth. And it doesn't belong to them. Yet we got a Christian brother giving them the platform. Now, I'm going to go on. I really wasn't planning to do this part this morning, but I'm just going with it. I said, Satan knew these truths, and we are in the midst, truly, of a revival due to this revelation about creation. But Satan planted and sowed tares among the wheat. I said, he set up a preemptive strike. He inserted New Agers, Antichrist people, potheads, Gnostics, Satanists, witches, into this biblical creation revival even before it took off. In other words, the devil sowed the tares among the wheat. These enemies of Jesus Christ are trying to completely hijack the truth of God's creation to promote their Luciferian New Age ideas. And I am done playing nice for FE Unity. Done. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of clips here. First, let's just read this passage of Scripture. I think I read it last week, but he says here, this is 2 Timothy 3. Actually, we're going to read a good bit of this. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Look at verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's important to remember. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, these were the Egyptian magicians that fought against Moses. So he's talking about There are also going to be witches and Satanists and New Agers talking about their supernatural abilities. As these withstood Moses, so these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But these shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest to all men, as theirs also was. How is the foolishness of the wicked made manifest? By preachers exposing it, rebuking it, and calling it for what it is. All right? He says, but these shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest to all men. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, and afflictions that came to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Look at verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So deception and deceivers will get worse and worse. But notice it says that these seducers and evil men are deceiving people, but they themselves are deceived as well, right? And he goes on to say, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So I love how the Apostle Paul, giving instruction to this young pastor, says, how are you going to protect yourself from these deceivers? How are you going to protect yourself from these liars, these deceivers, even these ones that are claiming supernatural abilities? How are you going to protect yourself? You better know the scriptures. You better stay in the scriptures. The scriptures are inspired by God. That's why they attack the scriptures. Now let's move forward here. He says here in 2 Peter 2, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, and even denying the Lord that bought them. Do you see that? Even denying the Lord. Now I'm going to show you something here. He says here, well, I got one more passage here. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hear, know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now it's already in the world. So to say that Jesus didn't exist is the very definition of the spirit of Antichrist operating. It's not the only aspect of the spirit of Antichrist, but it's one of them. Now, this is one of the speakers that was at the Flat Earth International Conference. His name is Dave Murphy. He's a British guy. This is his YouTube channel. And I want to play a little snippet of him and ask the question, why would a Christian invite this guy to anything? Listen to Dave.
Hello, this is Dave. This video is intended primarily for my brothers and sisters who have discovered that they are the true descendants of the Hebrew Israelites of the book known as the Old Testament, and for those of other nations who fear and follow the commandments of the Most High, but are still believers in the character known as Jesus or Yeshua, Yahawashi, Yahusha, Yahoshua, or Yeshaya. However, if you are a born-again, saved, white Anglo-Saxon Christian type, then don't bother watching this video. It's not for you. There's no point in arguing with anything that's in this video because the contents are based on the way of life of the Hebrews, and you are in a religion that worships a pantheon of gods entirely different from the Most High I Am of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have no interest in any debate with Christians. What you choose to believe is your own affair. So don't come on here and tell me that I need to be saved, or I haven't done enough research, or I haven't been possessed by the holy demon spirit yet. I don't need you to pray to your idol for me. I don't need to be born again. I just need you to go away. So,
Dave Murphy. He was one of the speakers there. I wouldn't invite this man to speak to my dog. He's as antichrist as it comes, right? I asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This is pretty serious. Now, I want to say this. I know most of you know that I love Robbie Davidson. He's a brother. I consider him a brother and a friend, and I've already sent an email to him specifically addressing these things. But I cannot ignore this because I'm just up to here. I listened to Karen B. yesterday. I don't have the clip of her. I'll play that for you later. It's like it's over 15 minutes, so I didn't want to bring that today. She had the main platform, and for almost 20 minutes, she talked about telepathy, transcendental meditation, visualization, out-of-body experiences, that we all should develop this. We all have this ability, and this is what we should do. So basically, she got the main floor, the main stage, to preach Hinduism, Buddhism, and New Age philosophy, occultism, demonic occultism, that will open people up to demon possession. From the main stage, Christians set off to the back room. And they got upset with me because I laid out who the true God was last year. But it's okay for Karen B. to get up and preach her New Age religion. This is not good. Here's a panel discussion I wanted you to see. I think this is the one that's Jaron's wife. And, of course, Jaron doesn't believe the Bible. He doesn't accept the Bible. He is about as antichrist as it comes. And his wife the same way. And she gets up and asks the question about the Bible. And really, she didn't really ask a question as much as she stated what she believed. But she asked a question. So let's see. I think this is, though, is just ODD answering it. So this is ODD TV. What's his name again? You know? His real name.
Matt.
Yeah, Matt. Okay.
Can I also hear answers from the non-Christians in the panel? Is that okay? Yeah. I just want to hear. Sorry. No.
I'd like to say that we're all on the same team either way. You know, I'm not Christian, and I don't plan on being a Christian. I've looked into it. I've even asked Ross Kiba for advice on how to find this kind of the answers I was looking for, and I really didn't find it. And at the end of the day, I found out that it's not necessary for us all to be Christian or, you know, that the Bible has commandments that I believe in. I believe that we shouldn't kill, we shouldn't steal, we shouldn't hurt people. And, you know, those are basic rules that pretty much any sane human being should be able to follow. So at the end of the day, we're all on the same team. We're trying to, you know, flip this system on its back and take over and make things better for this world and, you know, for our children in the future. So if you're having difficulties talking to Christians, then maybe, you know, just stay firm on your opinions or how you view things and let them stay firm, but don't let it ruin friendships or relationships.
Yeah.
So a couple of things here that ODD said that troubled me. First of all, it's not necessary for us to become Christians. Well, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, unless you believe in him, you will die in your sins. Unless you're willing to repent, you will perish. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man will come to the Father but through me. All these people talk about the flat earth reveals that there's a creator. But if you don't identify him, you're still lost. If you don't come to him and believe in him, you're still going to pay the penalty yourself for your sins. I love what the great prophet and songwriter and singer years ago, Keith Green, used to say. He used to say, you know what? You're either going to pay the penalty for your sins or you're going to let someone else pay the penalty for your sins. You're going to accept that. And you have to accept that and you have to believe that. Jesus, God Almighty, in the flesh, came, lived a sinless life, healed the sick, cast out demons, taught the truth about heaven and hell and how to get there. And then he said, that's it. You got to come through me. There is no other way. See, let me tell you something. You can talk about God all day. You can talk about creation all day. You can talk about flat earth all day and enclosed cosmology all day. And you can show all the proofs and the evidence with the P900 and the P1000. But if that truth, if you don't take that truth all the way to the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're still deceived. You're still lost. You're still in your sins. You're still headed toward eternal damnation. And if Christians don't make that plain to the lost, to the world out there, if we don't make that plain, then we are participating in the deception. I don't care how you try to justify it. I would never, ever have Jaron or ODD or anybody speak at anything that I was putting on as a Christian man. Why? Because their message is satanic, Luciferian, and part of the agenda. And let me just go on and say this before we get into the evidence, the true evidences of the historic proof of Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. ODD and Jaron talk about, we're going to flip this system. We're going to expose this whole NWO, New World Order system. This whole, we're going to flip it because we got the truth. No, you're not flipping anything, Chief. No, you're part of it, whether you know it or not. And isn't it interesting that they can know the truth about the coming world government, the plans of the elite concerning the mark of the beast and surveillance, and they can know the truth. They're ever learning about the conspiracies that the Bible foretold, by the way. But they can't ever come to the knowledge of the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And the reason they don't come to the knowledge of the truth, John chapter 3 makes it clear why they don't come. Jesus said in John 3, he said, they don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. They love their sin. ODD loves his marijuana and getting high. They love their sin. I'm just being straight. You don't come to Jesus, not because you hadn't. Listen, these guys claim to be researchers, and I'm about to show you the real research. Now, either they're pathetic researchers, or they're dishonest, or they're being willfully ignorant. Because anybody that actually does the research would never say Jesus Christ was not a true person in history. If you make that statement, and I was told that behind the scenes, ODD and Dave Murphy were telling people this. Can you imagine young Christians in the hallways at the conference running into Dave Murphy and ODD and thinking, wow, you know, they're putting the flat earth truth out there and they're putting the NWO truth out there. And then they start telling them, you know, you really need to do some more research because Jesus really never existed. He was a myth. I have eyewitnesses telling me that was going on in the hallways. And some of you'd be shocked at the eyewitnesses who actually called me. This is over with. And this is nonsense. Jaron, ODD, and anybody else out there spouting that Jesus didn't exist, Dave Murphy, Karen B, I'll tell you what B stands for, is bewitched. Anybody like that? I'm telling you. It's over with. Now let's look. Let's look at the historic Jesus Christ. This, like I said, for my school of ministry students, you should be able, if I gave you a test right now on this, you should be able to make an A, right? This right here is actually a slide that I used at the first Flat Earth International Conference in Raleigh. And here's what it says. The Bible is unique above all other religious texts. The Bible has more manuscript evidence than any 10 pieces of ancient literature combined. That includes historical writings. There are more than 24,000 copies of portions of the New Testament in existence today, some of which date back to the first century AD. In comparison, the great Iliad by Homer only has 643 surviving manuscripts. The discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, contain all the books of the Old Testament except Esther, and includes a copy of the Book of Enoch. These manuscripts, some dating back to 300 BC, confirm that the Old Testament scriptures were translated accurately for the last 2,300 years. This is a historical and archaeological physical fact, right? The Isaiah scroll that was found engraved in copper, a copper is called the copper scroll. The Isaiah scroll that was found that the minimum was 100 AD put in that cave, minimum, was compared to the Isaiah, the book of Isaiah I have in my King James Bible today, and it was identical. Nothing changed or different. So to make the statement that the Bible we have today is not the same as they had back then is simply either, again, ignorance, bad research, no research, deception, lying, or willful ignorance. Because this is a fact. Now let's keep going. The Septuagint version, this is another historical fact, cannot be denied. If you deny it, you're probably one of the Holocaust deniers, right? You just want to deny history, okay? The Septuagint version was the first translation of the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek. It was ordered to be done by the king of Egypt, Ptolemy II, Philadelphus, around 250 to 248 BC, to be put in the famous library in Alexandria. The significance of the Septuagint version done by a non-Christian king in 248 BC is that it proves we had the Hebrew scriptures, Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, long before Jesus was born and started his ministry from a credible non-Christian source. It also proves that the detailed prophecies about Jesus were not written after his birth and ministry into the first century AD, as some critics accuse. So we have the Old Testament, a minimum of 250 plus years before God Almighty took on human flesh, born of the Virgin Mary, before he came to begin to fulfill all those prophecies that were written in the Old Testament. And that's what this is another slide that I used in Raleigh at the Raleigh conference. I say here the quantity and specificity of fulfilled Bible prophecy is the DNA evidence of the God of the Bible being the true creator. One very outstanding and undeniably unique aspect of Jesus' life is that it fulfilled literally hundreds of predictions and prophecies written in the Bible, made by ancient prophets and seers, many of them centuries before he was born. These prophecies gave specific details regarding his birth, his life, his death, that no mere mortal could possibly have fulfilled. In the first books of the Bible, over 300 such predictions about the Messiah or Savior can be found. 20th century archaeological discoveries of hundreds of ancient Old Testament manuscripts have proven without a doubt that these prophecies were indeed written centuries before Jesus was born. Fact, not guesswork, not men manipulating this. These are just historical facts. Let's keep going. Here's just a few of the prophecies. Jeremiah 31, the massacre of the infants, hundreds of years, when they were trying to get rid of Jesus, when he was a baby. And Jesus would spend time in Egypt. Hosea 11:1, fulfilled. Matthew 2, Messiah would minister in Galilee. So specifically where the Messiah, the anointed one, would do his ministry. The place around the Sea of Galilee, that he would be a prophet. That he would be a priest like Melchizedek. I mean, we could just keep going. Jesus was to be rejected by his own people. We see that happen. Isaiah 53, see it fulfilled. Characteristics of Jesus were prophesied. His triumphal entry into Jerusalem prophesied. Zechariah 9 fulfilled. John 12, Messiah to be betrayed by a friend. Psalm 41, 1,000 years before he was even here. Right? I mean, we could go on down. He would be sold for specifically 30 pieces of silver. You can't. Let me tell you something. When you're arrested and bound up by Roman soldiers, you didn't pick that someone would betray you with 30 pieces of silver. You didn't get to control that aspect. Now, did you? Yet the Bible foretold that specifically. At least 750 years before. We could just, again, they just keep going. And that actually the silver that he was betrayed with was by the potter's field, which happened. The high priest and the elders of Israel took the money and said, it's blood money, and said, we're going to buy the potter's field. False witnesses to accuse him. Psalm 27 fulfilled. Matthew 26. Messiah would be silent when accused. He would be smitten and beaten and spat upon. All these things were foretold beforehand, that he would be hated without a cause, that he would suffer for the sins of others. Isaiah foretold he would suffer for the sins of others. Emmanuel would be crucified with sinners, that he would be crucified or numbered with the transgressors, so he would be killed with others. And this one specifically, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, who the Messiah, his hands and feet would be pierced. Psalm 22, 1,000 years before he was here, Jesus would be mocked and insulted. He would be given gall and vinegar to drink. That happened while he was hanging on the cross. He would hear the scriptures mocked. Messiah would pray for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. His side would be pierced, which is confirmed by the Shroud of Turin. Soldiers would cast lots for his coat. King David prophesied 1000 BC, look at this, that his hands and feet would be pierced. They that see me laugh me to scorn. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's Psalm 22, written by King David, found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, in the Septuagint version. This is what I'm getting at. We can prove historically the Old Testament was here before Jesus, and it fulfilled all these things about his life. No other prophet, no other religious leader can say, hey, there's a book about me with hundreds of prophecies in it, hundreds and even thousands of years before I was born. Nobody else. Nobody. See, I'm going to tell you, my faith in Jesus Christ as God Almighty, as the Creator, as the Savior, as the sacrifice for my sins, as the one true God, is not just blind faith. No, I've done the research for 31 plus years now. So don't tell me you've done some research, Jaron, ODD. And what, my God, what did Rob Skiba, what answers did he give, ODD? I would like to know. Because this is the answer he needed to give right here. I don't know what he gave him. I hope he gave him this. Because this is the answer. There's not multiple answers. This is the answer. If someone like that has questions. Psalm 22. Look it up. I love this one. Isaiah. We know we had in 750 B.C., except for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. This talks about a child would be given, he would be born, a son would come into this world, but he would be the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. We God in the flesh. That's pretty specific, right? The New Testament says, yeah, that was fulfilled. Told Mary, you're going to bring forth a son. She'll call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And it will be fulfilled that it was spoken by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted God with us. Jesus Christ is not just a man who discovered his own way to divinity. No, he is the creator, the one true God who made the heavens and the earth. And he became a man so he could pay the penalty of death, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not through Buddha, not through Allah, not through Muhammad, not through Krishna, not through meditation, not through God consciousness, not through out-of-body experiences. You hear what I'm saying? Let's keep going here. I want to give you some. We're talking about the historical Jesus Christ in the Bible this morning. That's the title of the message. Here's some reasons why the New Testament can be trusted. As I said a minute ago, there are 24,000 copies of portions of the New Testament in existence today, some which date back to the first century AD. Number two, the early church fathers, who were the disciples of the disciples, Ignatius, Polycarp, Irenaeus, those guys who came along, John discipled Polycarp, Polycarp, Irenaeus, and so forth, how it got passed down. And let me just say, when I talk about these early church fathers, I'm not talking about the desert fathers of 250 BC, AD, I mean. I'm talking about the early church fathers that continued to carry on the doctrine of the apostles, that carried on the New Testament, the books they wrote, the Gospels and the letters. But the early church fathers confirmed the writings of the apostles, a.k.a. the New Testament canon, in their writings long before the corrupt Roman Catholic Church came into existence in 313 A.D. We have the historical writings of Polycarp, of Ignatius, of Irenaeus. We have these historical writings that pretty much you can almost put together the entire New Testament from where they quote the New Testament. Long before Constantine created a state church in Rome. Everybody talks about the Roman Catholic Church corrupted the Bible. No, they came up with their own version called the Latin Vulgate. But the Bible was around long before, the true Bible was around long before them. And we have the true Bible today. Yes, they have their version. People have come up with all kind of twisted versions, but there is the true one. Let's keep going. Another one. It says, archaeological discoveries have confirmed specific New Testament people, places, and events, and the big one here, first century historians, non-Christian first century historians, confirm the existence of Jesus Christ, his miracles, his crucifixion under Pontius Pilate, his resurrection from the dead, and Christian disciples continuing his teaching. I mean, let's look at it. This is history. These are facts. We'll go pass this on here. Let's go. These are just some of the manuscript discoveries. I don't have time. We won't cover that today, but you can look them up. These are all in museums. And even this fragment, it's dated to 175 A.D., had most of the New Testament put together there. Here's what I was talking about a minute ago. Peter and Paul, they discipled Clement of Rome, Peter Ignatius of Antioch, and John Ignatius. John discipled Polycarp, and then Polycarp Irenaeus. Irenaeus met the Apostle John. They hung out with the Apostle John. I'd say, you know what, we were sitting around with John, and this is what we were talking about. That's pretty good stuff right there, right? These men were all martyred. They were all killed for their faith. Here's one of the writings of Polycarp, his epistle to the Philippians. It's amazing how many times he quotes the epistles of Paul in this one thing over and over again, meaning, he even said in this that he did not stand in the same place, in the same wisdom or the same place as the Apostle Paul. And that's all those quotes and facts. I'm not going to go through all that. Now, one of the historians, and I want to cover this today, because we're talking about the historic Jesus Christ. So if we're talking about the historic Jesus Christ, Of course, the Bible is a history book that has not been proven to be incorrect in its history. In fact, some of the top archaeologists and historians of the day said that Luke's history and Acts and what he gives, the things that he tells about non-Christian characters, he said every time we dig up a rock in the Middle East, it confirms that Luke is a historian of the first-rate historian. He was accurate. In fact, Nelson Gleck, who was one of the top archaeologists in the world, said there's never been an archaeological discovery that's ever disproved one scripture of the New Testament. Think about that. Now look here. Let's talk about Josephus for a second. The last of the Old Testament prophets was Malachi. His book was dated between 433 and 400 BC. The writings of the first century Roman Jewish historian Josephus, who lived 37 to 100 AD, confirmed this and also lets us know that the Old Testament canon was in place 400 years before Jesus came on the scene. So we have a non-Christian historian who acknowledged that the Old Testament was finished in really between 433 and 400 BC, long before Jesus was born. For those of you who have never heard of Titus Flavius Josephus, he was a law-observant Jew of priestly and royal ancestry who recorded Jewish history, such as the first Jewish-Roman War. That war, which he witnessed, resulted in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. He also recorded some of the earliest history of Jesus Christ outside of the Gospels, and he was not a Christian. And this is what he said. That's actually a picture of my book, The Complete Works of Josephus, that I've had for over 30 years. This is what it says. At this time, there was a wise man called Jesus, and his conduct was good, and he was known to be virtuous. So he's saying he was holy. He wasn't a sinner. He wasn't a wicked man. Many people among the Jews and other nations became his disciples. Pilate, so he mentions Pontius Pilate, condemned him to die, or to be crucified and to die, but those who had become his disciples did not abandon his discipleship. So disciples continued. They reported that he appeared to them 3 days after his crucifixion and that he was alive. Accordingly, he was perhaps, you could tell this is a man struggling with, is he? I'm not sure yet. But he was perhaps the Messiah, concerning whom the prophets have reported wonders. And the tribe of Christians so named after him has not disappeared to this day. That's Josephus. His histories have never been challenged of the Jewish-Roman wars or anything else. He was just telling what was happening in his time. He was a historian. But if you don't want to accept Josephus, there was another guy, another historian of that time named Cornelius Tacitus. He lived from AD 56 to AD 117. He was a senator and a historian of the Roman Empire. In 115 AD, Tacitus wrote the following book 15 of chapter 44 of the Annals. Now, no one challenges Tacitus. And let me just add this. Tacitus was not only not a Christian, he was a judge that actually sentenced Christians to death and persecution. He was not a fan, okay, of Jesus or Christians at all. But he lived during that time. And he wrote about it, and this is what he said. Consequently, to get rid of the report about the fires in Rome, Emperor Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations called Christians by the populace. Christus, or Christ, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hands of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. This is history of a recorded and documented enemy of Christians, that Jesus lived and was crucified under Pontius Pilate. How can you say Jesus never existed? Are you saying Tacitus, a historian, a Roman senator who hated Christians, is lying? That's what you have to say? That Josephus, a non-Christian, a Jewish man who didn't have any dog in the fight, in fact, he had more of a reason to try to deny that Jesus was the Messiah, could have just left that out. So here we have historians of that time. You have to erase their historical record and of the Bible. If you want to try to erase Jesus from history. But that's what ODD. They want to say, yeah, we know that there's a creator now because we found out that we live very advanced terrarium. The Bible, yeah, is a flat earth book. It happens to describe that, but Jesus never really existed. Trust me, I've got 100,000 subscribers. This is where it's gone, isn't it? The historic Jesus. Jesus lived, died, and rose again from the dead. And he is alive forevermore. You know, I was in Israel in 1988, and I took an atheist. You hear me? An atheist from Australia by the name of David Hook. I have multiple witnesses that are still alive to this day. I took a witness, this atheist, to the empty tomb, the real empty tomb, that's at the foot of Golgotha. And in that tomb, we walked in that tomb, and guess what? There's no remains in that tomb. There's no bones in that tomb. Oh, they stole his body, they stole the bones. And all this. Really? Because an atheist was in there, and we stood in there and talked about Jesus of Nazareth for about 20 minutes, and the atheist had been arguing with us for 2 weeks. He didn't believe the Bible. He didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe any of it. It was a myth to him. He was an atheist. But we stood in that tomb where Jesus rose from the dead, and we talked for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. I lost track of time. He wasn't talking, but, you know, I had two guys from Belgium with me. I had my brother, Alan Odell, was with me. I had there was another Christian that started traveling with us from New Zealand. His name was Les. And we ended up, we had this little group traveling around Israel, you know. It was funny. Like, it was three unbelievers and three believers. but they were amazed when I would show them in the Bible, like it said, Golgotha, the place of the skull, and we'd walk out the Damascus gate and look at the hill where Jesus was crucified, and it looks like a skull. And I remember all of them going, wow, that was written 2,000 years ago, and there it is. Exactly. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a myth. Marlene's been there. Paul's been there. And we left that tomb, and I remember walking out. And when you walk out, anybody that's been there knows, you walk out, you're in a little garden, you have to walk through a little gift shop into an alley because it's kind of behind everything. And you walk in the alley, and you walk down. I remember walking out of the alley, and a camel was parked right there, a real camel. Somebody's ride was waiting on. And we walked by the camel, and somehow me and David Hook got a little ahead of everybody. And he had this real strange look on his face. And I was like, what's wrong with you? And he said, I felt the presence of peace in that tomb like I've never felt in my entire life. Now, I'd witnessed to this guy for 2 weeks solid, giving him everything I've been telling you guys today about Jesus. But it, you know, so you got to plant the seed, and God's got to water the seed. But in that tomb where Jesus rose from the dead, he felt the presence of Jesus. He felt the power of Jesus. He felt the peace. He said, I felt something. He was almost shaking. I mean, he was, the color had gone out of his face. Because you got to understand, this guy was an atheist. And he's encountering the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus. And so he says, I told him, and all I said to him, I said, well, that's just Jesus trying to get your attention, boy. And I just kept walking. But we were all staying together in a youth hostel in the old city of Jerusalem. And we got back to the youth hostel, and Crazy Les from New Zealand, who was always having his tea every day at 3, and I guess, I don't know if he's wanting to be British or what. I don't know what's going on with him. But he had this little Sony Walkman with the plug-in speaker. I'll never forget it, because he was playing that new Hosanna Integrity album that was all kind of Jewish music, and oh, man, he was just jamming, right? And we're all talking, and the music's playing, and David Hook's sitting over on his bed, his head, like, down. Finally, he interrupted the whole thing. He said, hey, guys. I'm like, yeah, what? He said, I want this Jesus you've been talking about. I said, "Wow, you do." So it was simple. I walked over and said, "Do you believe Jesus died for your sins?" "Yes, I do." "Do you believe he rose from the dead?" "Yes, I do." I said, "Then what we need to do is you need to pray and you need to ask him to forgive you of your sins. And you need to invite him to be Lord of your life. And you need to start following him." And he said, "I want to do that." And we led him in prayer to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he prayed that prayer, and the presence of God that came in that room, in that little youth hostel, was stronger than even when we were in the tomb where Jesus rose from the dead. And when he lifted up his eyes, he had like the, he was just, his eyes were wide open, just bugged out. He goes, "He really is here." And I said, "Yeah, he is." And I will never forget the David Hook I met 2 weeks earlier arguing with me that Jesus didn't exist. The Bible wasn't true. The last thing I'd given him, my pocket New Testament that I had with me. And the last thing he was doing when I saw him, he was laying on his bed because we had to leave. And he was laying on his bed reading his New Testament. He'd gotten to about Matthew 5 or 6. And I remember him looking at me and go, "G'day, mate. Thank you, mate." And that was the last time I saw him. Don't tell me Jesus is not real. You don't change an atheist in 2 weeks. No, we gave him the truth, the facts. And God watered it with his presence. And that's my prayer. Look, today, I know people are going to see this. And some people are going to be upset with me. But my prayer today is that ODD, Matt, whatever his name is, Jaron's wife, Melissa, Bob, Nodal, all of them that don't know the Lord will stop believing lies because Jesus did exist. He did live. He is the prophesied, foretold Messiah. He is the Creator. He is God in the flesh. He's the only way your sins can be forgiven. He loves you. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. He doesn't want you to be separated from him forever. He doesn't want that, but he's made one way, not your way. You don't get to pick the way. It's not by your good deeds outweighing your bad deeds, trying to be a good person, all this stuff. No. The only way your sins are washed away is to believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the dead, and you surrender your life to him. That's it. And if you'll do that, and stop with the blasphemy and the denials and the lies and your bad research or no research. I don't know which one it is. He will save you. He will come into the room where you are and you will know that he has saved you. Because when you're born again, it's not just believing something in your head. There is a supernatural experience that you have with him. You meet him. You encounter him. You feel him. That's why you can't. You say, "I don't want to," Dave Murphy, "I don't want to argue with Christians." Yeah, I know why. You've made up your mind. But see, you can't talk us. Anybody that's truly been born again and knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior and had this experience with him, there's no talking us out of it, man. I don't care what you say or do. Because see, there's a difference. See, I can tell you, I can pull out a dollar bill and say, George Washington existed. There's historical, tons of historical reference. We know George Washington lived. And you would say, "Yeah, okay, George Washington lived, yes." But see, you've never met George Washington, and I've never met George Washington. The difference with Jesus is that he rose from the dead, and he sent his spirit to dwell in those who come to him. And so you can know him and feel him and hear him and see him do miraculous and wonderful things. And that's what he wants for you. But you got to quit believing these lies. There is historical evidence. Look at this. Here's the Tacitus. We'll go on here a little bit. I'm going to go through this. This all talks about Tacitus being a judge. And But look at this. Here's an archaeological, you could say this is an archaeological proof or even a writing, because it's something engraved in stone, right? And they found it. But the Pilate stone is a damaged block of carved limestone with a partially intact inscription attributed to and mentioning Pontius Pilate, the prefect of the Roman province of Judea from AD 26 to 36. It was discovered at the archaeological site in Caesarea Maritima in 1961. The artifact is particularly significant because it is an archaeological find of an authentic first century Roman inscription mentioning Pontius Pilate. It is contemporary to Pilate's lifetime and accords with what is known of his reported career. In effect, the writing constitutes the earliest surviving record and contemporaneous evidence for the historical existence of this person, otherwise known from the New Testament, Jewish literature, and brief mentions in retrospective Roman histories, which have themselves survived in still later copies. So here we have something confirming Pontius Pilate existed. He's not a mythical character, nor was Annas or Caiaphas, the high priest of Israel, who tried Jesus as well. You could go on down the list. We have archaeological evidence of crucifixion from the first century. This is from a tomb. Oh, this one I love. The burial box of James, the brother of Jesus, was discovered. Amazing as it sounds, a limestone box called an ossuary has surfaced in Israel that may once have contained the bones of James, the brother of Jesus. We know this because an extraordinary inscription incised on one side of the ossuary reads in clear Aramaic letters, which is what they spoke there, James, son of Joseph, brother of Jesus. But is this the same James who was the brother of Jesus of Nazareth, or was it another James whose father happened to be called Joseph and who happened to coincidentally have a brother named Jesus? The reason it was written on there is so you could identify what James. James, the son of Joseph, the brother of Jesus Christ. This is the box his bones were put in. Historical, archaeological fact. And in fact, there was such a stink over this that it was a forgery. And we're going to look at this right here, that there was a 7-year forgery trial, meaning this went to court for 7 years to see if it was a forgery. And guess what? The man who was charged with forging this was acquitted after a 7-year forgery trial. So this was tried in court. Probably not good enough for the deniers. But the things keep coming. The critics for many years said Nazareth didn't exist. And then guess what? The archaeologists dug up Nazareth. Right? They found Peter's house in Capernaum, with Christian inscriptions on the wall. Here they found the pool of Siloam where Jesus told the blind man to go and watch. That was said to believe that it didn't exist. But then it was found. And then there's the Shroud of Turin, and I'm not going to go into that. I believe it's legitimate. I believe through the Shroud, there's so many documentaries on the Shroud. It's been scientifically tested. They thought they debunked it, and then they found out that they took a piece from a patch that was added on after it was damaged. And when they actually tested the original piece, it dates to the time of Jesus. It's supernatural. There's still blood on it. It was a man that was crucified. It was a man who was pierced in his side. I absolutely believe this is physical evidence of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And it has been scientifically scrutinized to the nth degree. So listen, folks, we have historical reference from non-Christian historians. We have archaeological evidence. And we have forensic evidence. We have evidence of Jesus' family. So don't tell me Jesus Christ never existed. You're a fool if you believe that. You're a fool, or you're ignorant, or you're being willfully ignorant. And if you think you've researched it, Dave Murphy or ODD or Jaron, you're not being your research abilities are pathetic. It shows either or it shows your bias, one of the two. See, God put me right smack in the middle of this flat earth movement to be the thorn in the side of the compromisers and the New Agers and the Satanists and the witches and the unbelievers and the Jesus deniers. Because, see, remember ODD said something interesting. We're going to flip this system. No, you're not. And Jesus revealed through his apostle John and through the apostle Daniel. He says this in Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, that the Antichrist, the beast system, this new world order that's coming with the mark of the beast, it says it's going to make war against the saints. That's the true born-again Christians that follow Jesus, that truly know him. They're going to make war with the saints and overcome them, meaning the system is going to succeed. You will not stop it. We will not stop it. It's going to happen. God is going to allow it to happen. He's going to sift the tares from the wheat. The mark of the beast is going to be another final sifting between who's going to follow Jesus and stay true to the word of God and who's going to follow the Antichrist system. And you can say, I'm not going to ever follow the NWO, but if you're preaching their message against Jesus Christ and you're fighting true Christians, you are on the other side. And Jesus has made it clear, this book that prophesied all these things said that the Antichrist will take over the world. The world government will come. They will institute the mark of the beast. They will persecute and kill Christians and anybody that opposes them, and they'll try to kill everybody they can to ensure their new world order. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ will rend the heavens. He will open the solid sky. The dome he created, the firmament he created, he's going to roll that back like a scroll, and he's going to descend. And he says, every eye will see him, and the rich men and the captains and the chief men are going to cry out and say, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. Because you know what? They're going to know what's coming. They know their wickedness and their evil and their unbelief and their resistance to Jesus Christ and his love and his sacrifice and his truth. They're going to know they blew it. It says all the tribes of the earth will mourn when they see him. Why? Because they will know they didn't listen to the Christians. They didn't listen to the Bible. They didn't listen to history. They didn't listen to archaeology. They didn't listen. And when they were offered love and forgiveness and the way of life, they said, no, we want to keep our wickedness and our sin and our own way. Do as thou wilt. I'm going to do what I want to do. No, you either follow Jesus or you're following Satan and the New World Order and the Antichrist system. That's it. There's not multiple ways to God. There's no your own way to God. It's Jesus and him alone. And we as Christians cannot be ashamed of that. Don't tell me you're preaching the gospel and you never say these things. No, what you are is megachurch Christianity. You've learned how to talk about the Bible without being offensive because you don't tell people about hell and about salvation and about Jesus being the only way. See, that's what ticked them off last year. And you only have one of two options. Keep preaching the gospel in the flat earth movement and conferences, or tone it down, or shove the Christians to the true Christians, or any Christian that might actually say what I said last year, you shove them to the side in a little room and give the main stage to the atheists and the New Agers like Eru and Karen B and ODD and Dave Murphy and whatever else. Oh, I know. I think two Christians got the the big room, Rob Skiba and Zen Garcia. Well, Zen's a Gnostic. And Rob gives a good presentation on what the Bible says about creation, but he doesn't go into the gospel. Sorry. Not in his presentations. He does not say Jesus is the only way that you can be saved from your sins and not go to hell, because he don't want to offend people. I'm just being straight up. They want to keep this ball rolling because it's become a money-making thing now. And that's why you can't serve God in money. You can't do it. There will always be a dividing line. There will always be a point you got to choose who you're going to serve. And it's time. It's time. I can say this, that unless things change dramatically, and there is a possibility that brothers will listen and things will change. I hope. But if they don't, this was just the first shot over the bow. Because I will make it my mission in life to oppose this yoking with these unbelievers and letting them rob the truth of biblical creation to lead people into Luciferian, New Age, satanic ideas. I just cannot abide. I cannot sit by and let it happen. So, I know this is strong, and I want to say right now, I love my brothers. I love Rob Skiba. I love Zen Garcia. I love Robbie Davidson. I even love my what I would say would be my enemies or the enemies of the cross at this point. I love Jaron and ODD. I pray for them regularly that their God will open their eyes and they will come to know the love and forgiveness and power and peace of Jesus, the true Messiah, the true God of creation. That they'll find out, they'll find the unknown God they are trying to find, like the people in Athens who had the altar to the unknown God. We know there's a creator. Well, what's his name? Who is he? How has he revealed himself apart from creation? How has he revealed himself? How do we know who he is? Would God create this place and give us the evidence of creation and not sign the painting? No, he signed the painting, folks. The Bible is his signature. Jaron says stuff like God wouldn't do anything in writing. Where does he get that from? I mean, it's just made up out of his head or just listening to demons. I don't know. We talk about the beauty of creation. We see a sunset sometimes and it looks like, I mean, doesn't it look like the most beautiful painting you've ever seen? The Bible is God's signature upon it. He signed the painting. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeshua, if you prefer. This is his signature. You want to try to wipe it off the painting? The creation? I don't think he's going to be very happy with that on Judgment Day. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. The only proof of love is truth. The Bible says you hate, if you lie to people, it says you hate them. That's what Proverbs says. If you lie, you hate them. You hate the person you're lying to. That's why lying is so bad. Because it's the opposite of love. You can put up lying equals hatred. And you can put up truth equals love. One of the things 1 Corinthians 13 says about love, it says it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. I've given you truth today. Historical, archaeological, mathematical in the sense of all these fulfilled prophecies, even supernatural truth. The fact that they were, these prophecies were foretold before, long before it happened. It's supernatural proof. Forensic evidence. And for Christians, it's just a reminder. It's not blind faith. We have solid evidence to base our beliefs on. Evidence been proven in court. Evidence that has converted many atheists who tried to go out and debunk the crucifixion, the resurrection, the existence of Jesus Christ. Josh McDowell was one of them. What was the other one? Strobel? Lee Strobel? Atheist. We've had some testify at the conference. Paul from Sweden. Others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today. And Lord, I just pray today that though the truth may hurt, it may sting, that God, it provokes, I pray it would provoke people to repentance, to humility, to being willing to change. It's vitally important. The truth of creation without Jesus is not enough. Flat earth has become an idol to many, and they push Jesus to the side. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Sin has to be dealt with. And everybody has to come to that individually and deal with it. And either they reject what Jesus has done or they accept it. And that is the hard, cold fact and reality of the gospel. And it offends the wicked. It offends those who want to embrace and hold on to their sin in their own ways. God, I pray today that your Holy Spirit will go forth and water the seed, the true seed, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It went forth today. People will come to him like David Hook and did in Israel. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, all right. Just remember, I love you enough to tell the truth. Proverbs 27 says this. It says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Saying you'd rather be wounded a little bit by a friend telling you the truth than to be kissed by an enemy who's deceiving you. I know it wounded a little bit today, but let it cause humility, repentance, let correction and rebuke and this be received, I hope.